It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As thousands of Wisconsinites are homeless, we go outside our borders now to examine the work of rapidly rehousing people and interventions underway in Washington and Utah. You can join this conversation along the way. Call in with a question, add your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Wayne Niederhauser is State Homeless Coordinator of Utah. Wayne, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. Ted Kelleher here as well, Policy Director of the Housing Division within the Washington State Department of Commerce. Ted, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Ted, let's start with you. Washington having the fifth highest per capita homeless rate in the country. That's according to Results Washington, which tracks statewide figures. What are the greatest challenges facing your state's homeless population?
Yeah, thank you. There's a lot of dynamics in homelessness. It's hard to tease them all out. But some of the leading factors in Washington, anyway, is that we have, you know, very fast population growth. We haven't been constructing enough housing, both on market rate housing and, affordable housing, subsidized housing. That's been a significant factor. We've been successful in increasing incomes and, you know, very low unemployment rates, but there's a really strong correlation between rents and income. So as incomes, median household incomes, middle incomes in our largest county, King County, where Seattle is, have soared to more than $106,000 a year, it makes it really difficult for people, for instance, are relying on a disability payment or Social Security, which is the same no matter where you are in the country, to find affordable housing at that level. So, you know, that combination of factors have just really put the squeeze over the last decade, and it's only gotten, you know, the pandemic made things even worse.
Intensified. Now, turning to Utah, Wayne, how often are people experiencing housing insecurity in your state?
Wow, Kate, we track a lot of data. And 8,700 people experienced homelessness for the first time in the state of Utah in 2022. We got to go upstream and look at prevention. And Ted lays out the cost of housing and how it affects homelessness. California has the highest rate of homelessness in the country, 44 per 10,000. Mississippi has the lowest, 5 per 10,000. Now overlay the cost of housing, and this become the data shows that this is a cost of housing issue. The more costly your housing, the higher the rates of homelessness. Now there are some exceptions across the country, but it's a good predictor of how many people end up homelessness in your state.
Ted, but people might say, yes, but it's Seattle. The housing costs are through the roof. Is housing insecurity both an urban issue and a rural issue in Washington?
Yeah, it is definitely both. You know, we've been struggling with increasing homelessness for a while now, and I really want to emphasize what was just said about housing price increases. We've seen that. We've been following that and it just keeps bearing out. No matter what the community you look at in Washington state, you know, we have some very different, we have different politics in the state, red and blue, particularly divided by the mountain range that we have. And you're seeing that, you'll see a community that had formerly lower priced housing, and then as they've seen the surge of income and an influx of population, they've seen increases in homelessness despite the, you know, on the surface, different policies. It's just that price is so overwhelming. And it is important. There are other factors for certain. And the price is really an important thing that we're pushing to get a handle on. And, you know, in the last legislative session, you know, under the leadership of the governor, there was a strong push to open up our land use policy to not be so restrictive in the number and types of units that can be built. So now every county now has a target on the number of units that they need to accommodate. So it's not everyone having a static environment where things don't get built. And then in that low supply environment, prices just get bid up and fewer people can afford to live there.
Really monitoring that marketplace, that environment. Michelle in Eau Claire is here. Michelle, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. I live and breathe this every day as a volunteer, as a member of an affordable housing task force. We have members who are on our city planning commission and realtors who work with statewide organizations. And we know in Eau Claire County, Wisconsin, we are at 2 to 3% availability for housing at any income level. And ideally, we'd like to be at 6 or 7. So we're feeling the squeeze here, both for folks who are chronically homeless, as well as for families who are just being priced out of the community. If this were easy, we'd have it solved. It's obviously very complicated. And so I appreciate your conversation today.
Michelle, thank you for joining in. Wayne, what are those steps to help solve this workforce housing affordability issue?
Thanks, Kate. I'm a real estate developer and have been for many, many years before I accepted this position, a governor-appointed position in Utah, and have done a lot of housing projects over the years. An accountant by background, I've done hundreds of pro formas on housing. And when I got into this position, and maybe I should mention also that I served in the legislature here in Utah for 12 years. I was the Senate president for 6 of those years. We've turned housing sideways, upside down, to try and figure out how to do housing affordability. I dug into this when I first got into this position. And the reason why we don't have more affordable housing is it doesn't pencil. It will never naturally attract capital. It will have to be subsidized. We have to have programs to help buy down those rents to a more affordable level and create that housing at a more affordable level. And so I worked hard with our legislature over the last 2 years and have developed a couple of programs. Now it's been funded with one-time money. So we need an ongoing program here. But what we have is a deeply affordable housing grant program and a rent support program in order to help reduce those costs for not only people experiencing homelessness, but workforce housing. And, that's 60% area median income and below. Homelessness is 30% AMI, area median income and below. And it's going to take these kind of programs for us to have that kind of housing, and they have to be supply oriented. And so our programs will increase supply of housing because, as Ted mentioned, also this is a supply issue in a big way.
Wayne Niederhauser is the state homeless coordinator in Utah. Ted Kelleher with us works on housing policy at the Washington State Department of Commerce. As we talk about efforts to address housing insecurity in other states, what we can learn here in Wisconsin, you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Ted, I want to turn to this landlord mitigation program. Wisconsin authorities are interested in establishing a program like this one that you have in Washington State. How does Washington State's program work? How is it doing?
Yeah, thank you. That's a program that was created a couple of years before the pandemic and then was expanded to the pandemic to deal with some of the issues that were specific to that. Basically, what it has a number of facets. That central program is if you're a private for-profit landlord renting to someone who's receiving a subsidy, a housing choice voucher, sometimes known as a Section 8 voucher, or maybe some other state assistance to get you moved into housing. If you're housing one of those tenants and you there's some damage to your unit, the state will reimburse the damage to that unit. So to the extent that there's a perception that there's increased risk of renting to people with lower incomes and maybe some poor rental histories, the state will provide a backstop. And in some ways, it's frankly an incentive because we'll also pay some back rent. It's an incentive over typical other sorts of renters. It's very hard, you know, oftentimes it's additional work to use a subsidy, a government subsidy, particularly a federal one. So we're really just trying to smooth that path and to reduce the risk that landlords might experience. And it does work quite well, but the issue with it is there's just a shortage of units, period. So even we have situations in communities where, you know, smaller communities where nurses, for instance, make good money, sometimes up six-figure money, and they're living in hotels when they first get the job, and eventually they just leave the job because there just isn't the supply out there. Even in our rural communities, we really need more.
Wayne, how is Utah working with private management companies and landlords in order to make these units more accessible?
We're focused on supply because we've been a growth state here in Utah. Idaho and Utah, I think, are the fastest growing states in population over the last several years, have very low unemployment. This is our challenge, and our housing costs have increased double digit. So this is a good thing in many ways, but also a challenge because we have to deal with the affordable housing and so supply. And so our programs, our deeply affordable housing grants, our attainable housing grants, are all oriented to increase the supply of housing. And also at the same time, reducing that cost of new supply, or that new supply, deed restricting it for 50 years so that remains affordable for, you know, decades to come.
Generations to come. Wayne Niederhauser there, Utah's homeless coordinator. We have Ted Kelleher with us, Washington State Department of Commerce's Housing Division Policy Director, as we dig into programs, efforts to end homelessness, focusing on two Western states right now to help inform the view here from Wisconsin. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your perspectives. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss homelessness, how best to help families find stable housing in Wisconsin, getting perspective now from efforts in Washington and Utah. Ted Kelleher is at the Washington State Department of Commerce's Housing Division, and Wayne Niederhauser is State Homeless Coordinator for Utah. And you can add your voice to the conversation, calling in to ask a question, sharing your views, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Julia in Madison. Julia, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having this topic. It's very dear to my heart. I live here in Madison. I've reached out to the mayor of Madison, particularly about affordable housing for seniors. And I want to invite the folks that are on your show today, as well as listeners, to look up the Wall Street Journal, Wednesday, September 13th. There is a two-page story, More Baby Boomers Becoming Homeless. And it says, baby boomers who transform society in so many ways are now, we are seeing dramatic effect on homelessness because of various things, various reasons. But just like here in Madison, not willing to address the issue that there is not affordable housing for seniors.
Julia, I want to toss this to the guests to look at how first Washington approaches seniors and retired people and affordable housing. What do you see there, Ted?
Yeah, you know, I think I've really been talking about supply, and I want to really emphasize, you know, some of what was described from Utah about the need for a subsidy. And this applies, you know, for seniors for sure. and any population that's not a group of people that's not engaged in active employment. You know, the good news in many places in Washington too, are as the incomes have grown, people who are, you know, able to participate in that working environment are doing okay in the middle. You know, median incomes are at six figures and climbing. When you actually look at the ratio of incomes to rent payments and housing purchase prices, you know, setting aside the last year, which is an anomaly, which we probably don't have time to get into, you know, we're actually seeing an increase in affordability. That said, you know, not everyone is able to work all the time. And seniors are a classic example. You know, seniors, citizens in our state who have worked hard their whole life, they've, you know, they worked in a certain economic environment where incomes were a certain way. They saved up to match that environment. And then the world around them changed where everything was all of a sudden surging prices and surging populations. And it's really important that we address that. And one of the things we've seen is that our affordable housing and homeless programs can work. We see, you know, more than 80-90% success rates to the extent we're able to provide a subsidy to someone. But we have to be able to provide that subsidy, and we're just not doing it at scale. And we can increase the supply, and that's critical to be even have the places to put the affordable housing units. But without a subsidy, it just never pencils out. Now you might be able to pencil out where it's someone at the higher ends of lower income is able to afford. If we increase supply, it'll naturally bring the prices down 10-20%. But for those lower income people like seniors, we really need to increase our subsidies. What we see, we've done a lot of research over the last decade. We can see what works, but we just need to do it at scale. And that's part of what the push in Washington State is, to take what we've done and bring it to scale.
You know, I wonder, in Utah, Wayne Niederhauser, what comes up for you when thinking about seniors?
Thanks, Kate. Here's a dynamic that's taking place, and it's too frequent. And that is, we have deed-restricted properties that age out of that deed restriction. This is 30 years ago, because low-income housing tax credits were about 30 years, and now in Utah they're 50 years. So, you know, we've improved upon that, but these programs 30 years ago now are aging out. And so we have units then that all of a sudden become market rate. And many of our folks with fixed incomes are in those units and now are faced with market rate rents versus a subsidized rate and can end up in homelessness. And this is taking place because we're not replacing those units as fast as they are aging. Well, with our programs, we are increasing that ability to address that. But the scale issue, as Ted mentioned, is important. It's got to be at scale. So our elderly folks are not ending up in homelessness. So one thing we did here in Utah was create a fund that now can go in and help put those properties back in a deed restriction and in a subsidized rate. Again, though, it's not to scale to reduce that completely, but it is helping maintain some of that housing in a deed restricted situation for more years.
Ted, Washington is also addressing highway encampments, and you say that in recent years, upwards of 600 people were living near highways. Where are those people now?
Yeah, thank you. You know, we already knew this going in based on our research, but it's always good to, you know, practice what you see in reality, see if it works in reality. So there was, you know, during the COVID, there was, you know, a specific directive from the federal CDC to not clear encampments. So in Washington State, and I'm guessing around the rest of the country too, some very large encampments grew on the sides of our highways. The governor had a particular focus on addressing those as the pandemic wound down. We're actually now up to 900 people that we've moved into housing. When we go to an encampment, we spend a few weeks with leading with engagement with outreach workers, building a relationship, building some trust, and then offering them a shelter opportunity. And as long as we're offering the right shelter opportunities, we're seeing over 80% move into that housing and stay into that housing opportunity. So the vast majority of the people now, more than 900, have moved into housing and are staying in housing.
Wayne, what about the future of tiny homes? Has Utah made inroads there?
Salt Lake City has approved a tiny home project in an area that they've designated, and there'll be about 400 of those over the next, it's going to take a couple of years for those units to come online. But that's an effort that we're at least experimenting with right now.
Do you think that that will pencil, so to speak? Do you think that will open up more housing options and be sustainable?
Yes, it will. That's going to reduce the cost. But here's another issue, Kate, that when you're dealing with homelessness, this is not a workforce housing issue, but when you're dealing with homelessness, you have to have the support services with the housing for the housing to be successful. The services and housing go together. One does not work without the other, because so many of these individuals, because of substance abuse issues and mental health issues, need that support in housing.
You need that wraparound support. Yeah. Yes. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Ted Kelleher is at the Washington State Department of Commerce's Housing Division. Wayne Niederhauser is State Homeless Coordinator for Utah. Earlier in the conversation, we were focusing on Wisconsin with Michael Bassford. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.